amor mío, que el cielo tan azul me has pintado. Dame un beso para irme a los
It is 10:02. It's 10:02, and you're listening to KBOO in Portland. I'm Lisa Loving. Got a house full of very juicy guests, and plus a juicy guest on the phone. So we are here with people who put together this incredible book called Good Advice for Young, Trendy People of All Ages, especially Ms. Jennifer Blowdryer, who's wearing wonderful leopard spotted pajamas. Welcome, Jennifer.
Good morning to you.
And can we introduce...
My name is Sherilyn Connolly.
Okay, Sherilyn Connolly. And
I'm Alvin Orloff.
Wow, Alvin. And on the phone, we've got Lasara Firefox.
Hi.
Hi, Lasara. Lasara's book is Sexy Witch. And she's going to be speaking November 10th at In Other Words Bookstore. And tomorrow is Samhain.
It's true. It depends on how you count it. But tomorrow is one of the days that people would celebrate Samhain on.
Which is the Witch's New Year.
Absolutely.
And we got a lot of witches around here, and honorary witches, and then people who are just witches who call in sometimes, which is cool, too. So let's start out with Ms. Jennifer Blowdryer and this book, Good Advice for Young, Trendy People of All Ages. Jennifer, I won't lie to you. The morning news people that had to read the promo for this freaked out. They freaked out. They're like,
how so?
They're like, there's enough yuppies. We don't want to encourage yuppies. And I said, I think that there's something else going on with that. So can you talk about Good Advice for Young, Trendy People of All Ages? Talk about the book. What's it about? How did you come to put it together?
Well, I'd like to, there's an academic word for it, but, you know, the word trendy, people have come to see it as a put-down, but it really just means movement. You know, one follows movements. And in the book, I try to reflect some of the movements in the country, like, it's pretty funny style, but one of the movements is a lot of people are in jail. So I have a little prison chapter. And one of the movements is that the binary gender system, at least in the fashionable cities that I frequent, is really on its way out. So we have a school for girls and school for boys chapter. And then I have some good advice on... I'm looking at Reverend Jen's advice. I live in New York usually, and... some of her advice is write filthy gossip about yourself in local bar bathrooms.
Someone has to.
Somebody has to. You know what, Jennifer? I want to put it to you. Actually, Jennifer Blowdryer is an iconic figure in, I'm going to say, punk culture, popular culture, subculture in this country. And it's one of those things where Jennifer's famous among those who've heard of her. You know, you're one of those people that some people want to hide that you exist, right?
Yes, I would say, well, marginal is so harsh. I prefer beneath the radar because it makes it sound like I chose it.
And plus it's a more electronic. And I just want to put you in some kind of context. I mean, your blurb, the book blurb has Jello Biafra quote on it. And I believe he's going to be in town in Portland this week, which is exciting, too. But I like it if... You know, and then in a few minutes we'll go to Lasara, but Jennifer, I mean, can you take a pitchfork and just dig into that? I mean, all the things that are happening today in this country, and this actually super fun book, which makes us look again at who we are and what we value, really, if you don't mind my saying so. You know, where are we at with that?
Well, I feel like whatever the mainstream is, I really don't know because I don't listen to too much mainstream radio. I might, you know, give a Cure song a good listen about, you know, 18, 19 years later. So for me, I've always been part of sort of the counterculture. And to me now, the underground scene in this country are the people who are actually the genteel, sort of nice people with etiquette. And the mainstream are sort of the thugs. Like to me right now, to have a mainstream mentality is to be really thuggish. So that's, you know, like Sherilyn, who's here, she runs a couple of reading series, and she's a librarian for gay porn, and, you know, she's really very genteel. And Alvin Orloff, my friend here, he He's written a gay science fiction book called I Married an Earthling. And he used to be a, he doesn't like me to say it, but he actually was a lap dancer for a while at this
hot
campus men's theater.
And yet, I am genteel. A genteel lap dancer. Yeah, it makes sense, actually.
Yeah. And I've done sex work, you know, kind of when I, as needed basis, and I'm quite genteel.
Hey, I want to break in and ask Lacera Firefox with your book, which is also about sex, really, frankly. You know, Lacera, are you genteel?
I feel like that's a loaded question. I would say that I enjoy good conversation and good wine.
There you go.
Okay. It's actually good advice for young, trendy people of all ages, sexy witch. Actually, you guys are holding hands in a way. We're looking at what makes us tick in a time when I just feel like really bad fascist people have taken control of our society and they're running with it and killing people. It's
right. Well, I'd also like to say that I also have worked in the sex industry. So that's another thing that we all have in common.
Again, the things that people don't talk about, but it's the elephant in the room that nobody talks about. You know what I mean?
It's the truth. It's the truth. And also, Jennifer and I have been in touch before and tried to get together in San Francisco once ages ago, but it never worked out. So I'm glad to finally be at least sharing the airwaves with you, Jennifer.
You too. I used to write a column for New York Press and New York paper, and called Up All Night. And so, in some ways, New York is sort of old world, like a giant go-go bar, and San Francisco and the scene that Lacera knows pretty well is so. It's such a mutant oasis that people hardly even realize it. So I visit San Francisco over the years. It's kind of like watching a child change and you notice it because you're out of town a lot of the time. And it'll be these great lesbian sex parties or it'll be...
Yes, it's very transitory. It's changing constantly.
Yeah, and it's more modern and... The sex workers in San Francisco don't, you know, it's not necessarily a tragic environment.
Exactly. Actually, it's one of the most, as far as I'm concerned, of course, it's the sex work community that I've been the most involved in, but I definitely think it's the most sex positive and empowered group of sex workers I've ever had the privilege of witnessing.
Yeah, and as a trendy person, I started running a... These shows called Smut Fest in like 1988 in a lap dancing parlor in New York. And I started having people who were, I had done some sex work and written some hack erotica for Penthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started having, running shows with Annie Sprinkle and Veronica Vieira. And before sex workers were the darling of the avant-garde when it was still sort of taboo to admit
right. What
you did.
Right.
And I feel like I had these trendy antennas and I was just kind of picking up on that. So,
I want to drop Annie's name for a second.
Okay, and we are here, and it's very exciting because this is live radio, and our super cool friend, Alvin, his headphones aren't working.
Poor Alvin.
And he wants to hear all the talk about the things that we're talking about. And so that's frustrating. So
that is. I just wanted to say that Annie wrote one of the forwards in my book. I have two forwards in Sexy Witch. One is by Annie Sprinkle. And the other is by Nina Hartley, both very dear friends of mine.
So, Alvin, we're talking about different places where the sex industry, the community, is positive.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so it's good. And I wanted to go to Sherilyn. Okay, we are prohibited by FCC regulations from discussing sexual or what's the other word? Body
naughty
functions.
Oh, okay.
Naughty body functions.
I think it's excretory.
Okay. Thank you so much.
So no scat, okay.
Yeah, Lacera. No, yeah. But I wanted to put it to you, when we talk about gay porn, I feel like maybe it's not what we always think necessarily that really is anymore. I feel like a lot of people now are part of what we used to consider to be a separate gay community, right?
Right.
A separate. It used to be over here in a little shoebox, right? And people would go, whoa, look at that shoebox, whoa. But now... I think that even people who don't see themselves as being people necessarily who are gay or what have you, they just, it's part of their lives too. So how do you define gay porn?
Well, there's really not so much of the stigma as there once was. It's like at the place that I work, the company NakedSword.com, we have, you know, straight people there as well. You've heard of it, haven't you? I'm seeing this look on your face. It's just telling me you've heard of that site before. Yeah, like one of the big video on demand sites. And like I said, we have straight people working for us, like very heavily involved, who are not afraid to be associated with it. And that's, to me, is like a really great thing. And we're also doing stuff with Jenna Jameson now. We're sort of like, you know, hooking up with her, you know, trying to like share traffic, you know, for like the bi-curious people who go to Jenna's side and think, okay, maybe it'd be okay to see like a couple of men getting intimate, so they come to our direction. And yeah, gay porn is really, I don't know if it's going mainstream exactly, but it's no longer, yeah, the dirty closeted secret of the sex industry, of the porn industry. We're getting something, it's almost like we're becoming respected. We're like on the verge of becoming respected. And yet it's still fun. That's the amazing thing. It's becoming respected, and yet it's still fun to be involved with.
We are live in Studio 2 with Ms. Jennifer Blowdryer, the editor of Good Advice for Young, Trendy People of All Ages, and two contributors to this anthology, Sherilyn Connolly and the wonderful Alvin Orloff. And also we have on the phone the super fantastic Lasara Firefox, and her book is called Sexy Witch, and she's going to be speaking at In Other Words Bookstore November 10th. And
I also wanted to toss it out, actually, that I have other events going on in Portland also. I would love for people to show up at In Other Words, but I'm also doing a kickoff event at Mary's, the oldest fully nude review in Portland.
When's that?
On Wednesday at 7 p.m., which is going to be a total blast, and I'll be selling books and shirts there and just hanging out and enjoying the naked ladies and cold beer. And then also I will be doing a workshop Friday evening at Another Moon on flirting. And Saturday I'm doing events with Love Tribe. I'm doing a workshop during the day with Angel and who's one of the founders of Love Tribe, and then also hosting a flirting party that night through Love Tribe. So all of that info is available on my website at lasara.us, and also a lot of it's available through the Love Tribe website at lovetribe.org.
So basically, Alvin, because I know you can't hear,
okay.
Lasara's coming to town, Lasara Firefox, and she's going to flitter like a butterfly all over town, making people feel better about having fun with sex.
That's wonderful.
Is that what I hear you, Lasara, saying?
Absolutely. And flirting is my next book topic.
Flirting.
As well, and so those are some of the workshops that I'm going to be doing as well. My very popular flirting series, which is fun and wonderful and just teaches us all to get more comfortable in our bodies and in our interaction with others.
So Lasara, she's doing these interesting workshops that are sort of, in a way, when I think about it, the kind of thing that maybe feminists were looking at doing a generation ago, trying to feel more comfortable our bodies ourselves kind of a thing, and yet it's amped a little steroids in the our bodies ourselves thing going on with that. And Alvin, I wanted to ask you about your contribution too. And you know, again, when I look at the way right-wing fundamentalists and neoconservatives have tried as hard as they can to hijack our entire culture, even pretending like we can use science to prove the existence of God or something like that, it makes me wonder if there's like a cause and effect relationship, because I know families where, you know, maybe the parents or the one side in my family, okay, one side of the family is born-again Christian, super duper conservative. They're going to send all their kids into the military. They're just getting chewed up like a meat grinder. Other side of the family is more pragmatic. You know, they look around, they take people at face value. You know, you got a nephew that loves men and a niece who loves men and women. And I'm just wondering, when you're talking about science fiction, about, you know, I married a gay.
Oh, he should describe it. I married an earthling briefly, because that's really terrific.
Well, and also, I mean, just this issue of how we look, our fundamental way of looking at these things has shifted, but I don't think that people in the mainstream realize it, but it has happened. And I mean, yeah, I just want to hear you talk about that.
Well, I think that what you can do if you want to reach out to people who maybe don't have a subcultural person in their family is you can write books, and everyone can go to the library or get online and kind of contact somehow. Listen to radio, I should say, and come in contact with the subculture. And Jennifer's book, the Good Advice book, is actually sort of a primer. I would think that it would be the perfect thing to give to a young person who sort of wants to step away from the mainstream but doesn't quite know how. I mean, it's also certainly would be amusing to anyone who's already, you know, swimming in the subculture. But I think it could lead some people astray in the right way, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, because my target audience is weird young girls. And to me, because I grew up sort of isolated in Rhode Island mostly, and anything that I heard, like, music by Lou Reed or something that I read by Quentin Crisp meant so much to me. So to me, I'd love to have this book in the library in Huron, Ohio, for that one kid that might pick it up and might think, these are the people that I'm like.
You know, okay, with Sarah, Sherilyn, Alvin, Jennifer, we worry about the young people. Am I imagining that?
No, we do. Very worried. We absolutely do.
Something's happened. I feel like there's somehow been some kind of a break. And when I was in high school and I hung out with the drama queens and all my friends, but something has happened culturally where there was a gap there somewhere. And I don't think that those young people today are getting what we got then. Am I crazy?
Well, one does hear of these mega churches, and I'm just avid to see one. But when I'm traveling, I can never get anyone to take me to a mega church.
You're in the suburbs.
Yeah, because, you know, Sherilyn and Alvin live in San Francisco, and I mostly live in the East Village in New York. And the kids that I meet are... the kids that I hang out with are actually, like, super cool early 20s kids that had, like, really cool moms.
Right. Absolutely. I do want to say that it's not all bleak. There is a thriving underbelly, as there always has been, thank goodness. But I would say that one of the main factors that one of the workshops that I do regarding Sexy Witch is a workshop on taking control of our relationship with what I call the self-culture interface, which is where what's inside meets up with the influences that are external to us. And that would include
good
media,
one.
Family formatting, ideas, religion, et cetera, all of the messages that we're being handed from the time that we're born. And so one of the things that I have that I cite in Sexy Witch is the influence of marketing on self-esteem. And I think that this has become such an insidious force that it's hard to even know what our own thoughts are sometimes, and that's the biggest fear that I have around the culture that is growing up right now. Urban youth are exposed to 3,000, on average, 3,000 distinct marketing messages per day. And so when we're constantly being formatted by messages that are external to our own thought process, it's hard to figure out who we are.
If I may, Alvin and I were actually discussing something similar to this earlier this morning. There's a broadband company called Vonage, I guess that's how it's pronounced, that's currently doing an ad campaign, basically an anti-nerd ad campaign.
Oh, no.
Their big thing is you can, like, get hooked up, get all your things going without having to deal with any of those icky, nasty nerds. Completely showing, like, drawings of guys with, like, you know, glasses and pocket protectors and with, like, the circle and the line through them. It's, like, this really weird hostility towards, like, intelligent people, towards, you know... towards the kind of kids who got beat up in high school. It's like it wasn't bad enough that they had to deal with it then. Now they go out in the culture at a time when nerds had almost just become cool and we began to realize their worth. And now this company is trying to appeal to the, I don't know what quite the phrase is.
Paranoia of intellectualism.
Yeah, fear of intellectualism.
If they did that to a minority group, there would be an outrage.
Yeah.
You know, but
it's funny that you guys say that because I think, like, Americans really don't like smart people because I tutored really super smart, pretty successful Japanese businessmen and physicists, et cetera. And I'd be like, oh, you didn't get punished for being smart. Mm-hmm. Here, if you raise your hand with the answer in public schools, which we all went to, then, you know, it's that and Gore seems smart. Carrie seems smart. And I almost think if they just would have known, they wouldn't have won and just said, look, I know that you guys don't like smart people, and I'm super smart, but this is what might happen if you elect the dumb guy.
What do you think, Lasara?
I think that there are two trends going on that both have been mentioned. One is the sort of cool hunting thing, which finds trends in the subcultures and then exploits them for corporate profit.
Oh, absolutely.
So, like, the...
Except I like the sequin belt aspect of cool hunting.
Oh, absolutely.
Now you can get a sequin belt super cheap.
I'm not saying it's all bad, but there is a lot being written about it right now that's very, very fascinating. Actually, someone I'm reading a bit of right now is Douglas Rushkoff. Rushkoff.com, I believe, is his website. Maybe it's .org, I'm not sure. But Rushkoff, R-U-S-H-K-O-F-F, talks about how marketing is... about how cool hunting is causing problems with the process of maturation of young people.
What's the second trend you were talking about?
What's that?
You had said two trends.
Two
one
trends.
Was cool
the
hunting.
Two trends. One is the cool hunting aspect, which is like, I don't know if anybody knows about Delia's. They have the, I can't remember, Paul Frank shirts that say, I love nerds, and et cetera. Like, so there's an aspect of that sort of cool thing of smart kids are cool thing being exploited by media mm-hmm. for gain, which I think in some ways is not bad, except for the underlying messages of you aren't cool unless you buy the shirt. But then there's also the fact that I think American culture is totally phobic of intelligence and intellectualism. And the reason is because it pays for us to be stupid. It pays for us to not have a critical thought process around the influences that are impacting us. It pays not for us, but for the culture, for those in control. And I hate to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but marketing is what's running our program here and in this country and more so globally.
And I can't seem to get any marketing to save my life. Why, last night we read In Other Words, and there were 7 people there. 3 people were there because they were Sherilyn's internet buddies, noise musicians.
That's right. The noise community of Portland came out to represent us, and thank you for that, guys. I appreciate it.
Shout out to the noise community.
That's right.
And I think it's also just, like I was saying to Alvin, you know, desperately, what do you call it, next day quarterbacking. I don't know the cliche, but, you know, I said, if we didn't live in such a huge country, we might be more popular.
Right.
Because if you're in London or like a more little city or country, then people kind of know what's cool or it's easier
sure.
to get through to people. But we've got this massive middle part of the country, the flyover states, yeah. as some call them. And there's probably like really cool kids in each town, but it's
right.
hard to get through to them. And sometimes when I'm on the road and I drive by one of those towns that's distinguished by the about 5 signs, Burger King, what is it, Best
Burger
Buy?
Burger King, Home Depot, Best Buy. There's like some like carpet place that you see in like every small town you're driving by. Apparently like there's this vast need for fabrics in these small towns. But there's always like these same huge monolithic gray buildings of like the same 5 or 6. Then like a Panda Express. It's
sure.
very, it's
and
very
I
disturbing.
Think, I think there's a couple kids in this town that are dying to get out. Just dying to get out. And I always think of them. And Alvin's science fiction book, there's a nerdy, like a...
He's an overweight goth boy stuck in a little town in Southern California. And he's completely rejected by everyone until Earth is visited by representatives of a planet that is ruled by hairdressers. And one of them falls in love with him and takes him back to his home planet. So it's a happy story, but we haven't been visited by aliens yet. So I guess Jennifer and others are sort of doing their best to fill in.
We don't know. We don't know if we've right. been visited by the aliens.
Right.
They're lurking well, around and going, oh, my God, why did we come here?
Well, Alan's theory is that this other planet can get satellites of TV shows.
Oh, yeah.
But,
oh, great. They're listening to Howard Stern.
But no, they're all right. There's a time lag because of, you know, outer space and what have you. So they've only gotten up to watching reruns of Bewitched.
And Green Acres.
Could you believe in 1973, if someone had told you, okay, for the rest of your adult life, people are going to be watching Scooby Scooby Doo, and that's going to be the back? Could you believe that? I mean, that's the part that gets me, and people pay for it.
Well, 30-odd years later, movies would be made of it, no
really?
Less.
Never
care
for Scooby-Doo, but I'm glad people can still watch Green Acres, because that show really is great.
And I have a section in my book on the Gabor sisters, because I've met a young person the other month who hadn't heard of Green Acres and Ava Gabor.
Dun, dun, dun.
So I think maybe a lot of things that, you know, wars and such like that might not be that important for teenagers to know about, but they definitely need to know about Zsa Zsa Gabor, Ava Gabor, Magda the Silent Sister, and the mother, Jolie.
What about the pig?
Arnold Ziffel,
Arnold.
The talking
yeah.
pig, yes.
Yeah. Sorry, I just had to bring in the pig.
Yes.
We are live in Studio 2 with Jennifer Blowdryer, Sherilyn Connolly, Alvin Orloff, and we have on the phone with us Lasara Firefox. Lasara is going to be reading from her book, Sexy Witch, at In Other Words Feminist Bookstore on November 10th. We are already running out of show. I just have to say this, though, not to freak anybody out. We've been talking about kids, mm-hmm. right? I am 40. I think I might be 43 years old, okay? I've got to take off my shoes. And Jennifer, you are, I think, I want to say that you're 42 years old. And one of the things that freaks me out, she's denying it. Okay.
I'm 44.
Okay, good. I can count. Okay. One of the things that freaks me out when we talk about youth culture is how, when, as a woman, when we get to be 40 years old, it's sometimes it's like, boom, you're invisible. Or it's like, boom, anything that you do to express yourself is uncool because you're 43 years old. And I know, I meet so many women that are in our zone, our age zone, completely relate to good advice for young, trendy people of all ages. They love Margaret Cho, and it's like, but we're invisible. Am I imagining that?
Well, I think it has to be a case-by-case basis. If one's not popular in the mass media, like, I'm a very cool person, and then once people see me, they know that. And I think that women have to watch out for the shrill factor, because there can be, if I wasn't a 44-year-old who'd had a totally wild life and, you know, totally acted out and done a lot of stuff I wanted, if I was only just now getting to express myself or whatever, I could do it in a shrill manner, and that would be off-putting. But I think it's, yeah, people just have to get a chance to be around us, and then they'd be like, oh, yeah, they're pretty cool.
I think, too, that this in this generation that we are having some really good modeling of beautiful, powerful, graceful women aging into their 50s and 60s even, and not losing an ounce of sex appeal or appeal of any category. And so I think we're slowly seeing the media expand its awareness of the aging process at least a little bit. And I think, too, in our personal lives, the work that we do in creating intergenerational community, where there is more of a chance to interact with people of different ages, the more we can get away from that sort of stratification.
Yeah, like that's why I like Baltimore. I had a gig in D.C., but I went to Baltimore and got out of D.C. immediately. And in Baltimore, you'll be in a bar, the Mount Royal Tavern, and there's like young people, old people, all kind of trends. And they all have to hang out together because it's a small town and it's a really good bar.
Right on. And we have run out of show. And we have been live in studio, too, with Jennifer Blodger all the way from New York City. Some super fantastic Sherilyn Connolly and Alvin Orloff all the way from San Francisco.
That's right. Sam Clams Disco.
And we have been speaking with Lasara Firefox, who's coming to Portland very soon, November 10th. And Lasara, give us lasara.us is your website.
That's it. And I also wanted to say that Ariel Gore is going to be reading with me at In Other Words.
Oh, my God. How could I have forgotten to bring up Ariel Gore, she whom we adore.
The fabulous Ariel Gore.
I'm JenniferBlowDryer.com. There's AlvinOrloff.com and SherilynConnolly.com. Org.
Right on. And we are making room for Art Focus. Stay tuned.
El viento te ha llevado.